Welcome back to the Yoga Teacher Training Podcast. I'm Jeremy Devins, and today I'm joined with Kate Lombardo. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very, very excited to be here and talk to you.
So some of you listening may have seen Kate through some of the advertisements for Yoga Renew, which is one of the most prominent online yoga teacher trainings. And they've been running for several years now, and Kate is their yoga director. And she's been teaching for 10 years. So we're going to talk today a little bit about like your experience with Yoga Renew, with becoming this phase of a yoga teacher where you have a business that you're a big part of, and being a yoga director, being a CMO for this organization, chief marketing officer. So lots of cool things to talk about. But I'm curious if there's anything that stands out right away for you that you want to speak to or area that you want to take the conversation in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, thank you for having me. I'm excited to just chat about all things teacher training are definitely kind of my wheelhouse. I mean, I think the biggest thing, obviously, for anyone considering a training or who's done a training and is now like stepping into that yoga world, is obviously we in these last few years, as a result of the pandemic, I think there's been such a shift in terms of the amount of opportunity, both in the types of trainings offered, but then also in the types of teaching offered after you complete a training, right? So my background, I've kind of worn every hat I think a yoga teacher can wear. I completed my own trainings in person, and then I was teaching group classes for different studios. I eventually owned my own studio. We ran in-person trainings out of there. We were closed down during the pandemic and then shifted things online, and now I kind of do both. Like we have Yoga Renew, we have our online yoga teacher trainings, our headquarters for Yoga Renew, we still offer an in-person training. So I've seen like all of the different aspects of this and the growth. And I think it's an exciting time because we're sort of reimagining what teacher training can look like and then what teaching can look like after completing a training, which is a cool place to be in.
You think that there are too many yoga teachers or teacher trainings? So here's teachers say this.
Say that. It's interesting because we actually talk about that a lot, right? Our online programs were able to reach a whole new audience of people. So my opinion is that there aren't, and I'll explain it because I know that's going to be a bit of a controversial opinion. And we were just talking about this with our team today. So I live in Hoboken, New Jersey, which is right across the Hudson River from New York City. And in New York City, in our area, Hoboken's 1 square mile. And I think there's like, at one time, there was probably like 8 yoga studios in that 1 square mile. And so it felt like everyone has a yoga teacher training. There's a million yoga teachers. What we have found, though, through Yoga Renew and doing these online trainings is so many of our students are actually coming from places that there are no yoga studios, right? That there are communities that haven't had access to yoga or haven't had this practice. And I think the popularity of it in the West definitely was very city centric, you know, like places that are a little bit more populous. And I think the growth of where this has been going online has allowed for people who say like the nearest yoga studio is 60 miles away. So it's never been possible for me to even consider a teacher training. And I think maybe in pockets where yoga has existed in popularity, you know, in the United States and different parts of the world previously, like it feels a little saturated. But I think worldwide, there's a lot of space for, you know, even our little window when I think when you're in it and you're surrounded by it, you're like, everyone does yoga and everyone does yoga teacher training. But I think in the greater spectrum of the world, there's a whole lot of people who've never stepped on a yoga mat before, right? And so there's an opportunity, right? If all of us did yoga, the world would be, I think, a whole lot more peaceful and better. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of room still for growth.
Right, right. And then the transition from like whenever you finished your first teacher training to getting your first jobs to where you're at now, what is kind of that path that other teachers who maybe are fresh out of teacher training might take or could learn from your path?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think so much has changed. It's been like 10 years since I graduated my training. And I think social media like wasn't really, I mean, it was like just starting to be a thing. I think people were like posting yoga pictures on Instagram and like Yoga Girl was suddenly taking off, like all those, you know, super popular starting accounts. And so at that time, it was a lot more of just showing up at a studio or a gym, getting a job on a sublist or hoping to start teaching, you know, in that situation and then doing the best that you can to build relationships just in an in-person situation where you're, doing the best that you can to try and connect with people. And I think the way that that has evolved with not just the introduction of online trainings and online classes, but with social media, with blogs, with emails, all of that kind of stuff, it gives us an opportunity to connect with potential students, not just in our classes, right? Or people who come take our classes in person, to then build and continue that connection offline through social media. I will be honest in saying that in my own journey, I was kind of anti-social media for a while. I felt like it was this like opposite of what I was trying to teach people in the yoga space, like trying to get people off their phones and into the present moment. But my perspective has shifted a bit. And what I think it has allowed me to now do when I change my relationship with it, the perspective changed, right? So rather than getting stuck scrolling, I've actually used it as an opportunity to truly connect with people who maybe I would not have been able to connect with otherwise, you know, through Instagram direct messages and talking about yoga sequencing and people asking questions like, what do you think about this? And then going and trying it in their classes and coming to report back. And I think using the online space as a way to build relationships with potential students, also as a teacher and growing your own audience, growing as a teacher, you know, down a path, it presents so much more opportunity to be able to do that. But I think the key is making sure that we do it with authenticity, right? Like actually trying to connect with people online. And I think that's the key piece, is you can still keep it focused on the truth of yoga and trying to really connect with people, not just like sliding into DMs being like, hey, do you want to buy this thing for me? But more so really showing up and serving and building those connections, you know, in this way, right? Like the way we're talking, when I started teaching yoga, this was certainly not a thing, podcasts, all of that. And it's like such a cool way to be able to connect with people about this thing that we love.
Right. Yeah. Even like 2014, 15, 16, like Facebook was more of the prominent thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of my friends, like teachers, were starting to like, oh, I never used Facebook. I deleted it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, I get that. But then I kind of thought about it and I realized a lot of opportunities as a teacher came through Facebook groups. Like,
yeah.
Not just like, you know, randomly scrolling, but like being a part of like local communities or peer groups. Or, oh, can someone sub this class? Oh, totally. Can you just take over the class now?
Yeah. 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 And that's such a special thing to be able to do, you know, where, and I think what it allows too is for us to open our eyes to moving beyond just like our little bubbles, right? Like a yoga studio community, while supportive and wonderful, can feel very insular at times too, when you're only exposed to the people who show up for those classes, for that type of yoga, for that mindset. And when you get online and get introduced to people in other communities and see their perspective on things, I think that opens us up to just more possibility and more diversity, like, which I think is super important.
Yeah, totally. And then now, like, pretty much everyone associates Instagram with if you're a yoga teacher, are you on Instagram?
Yeah.
Even just like socially, like if you meet someone, yeah, with Instagram, yeah, it's kind of the default now.
Yeah.
So you've been the chief marketing officer for a while with Yoga Renew. So you've probably seen, like, if teachers are listening to this, like, how do I grow my Instagram? Or what do I do on there besides just scroll? And like, what do you suggest to navigate that?
There. Yeah. So I love this question, because I think so often people get out of training and they're like, I need to get a yoga website and all this stuff. And I actually say, to your point, I'm like, you don't need a website right out the gate, right? Like, just get yourself on Instagram as a step one. That's how people are mostly going to find you. And the biggest thing that I think in terms of actually growing an audience, there's no question that like the algorithm and all the businessy side of Instagram has changed and it's harder to grow than it was years ago. But I think, going back to what we were talking about really using it as a tool to truly show up and serve and build connections, is key. Like, I would rather have 1,000 followers that are really there to connect and learn and talk to me than look at someone with 20,000 who maybe paid for them and it's like people who are totally disinterested, right? And when we stop and think about even saying that, like, only 1,000 followers, like, that's 1,000 people. Like, can you imagine if 1,000 people showed up to take your yoga class? That's so, so, so many. And I think in this online world of influencers, there's like these metrics that people get attached to where you feel like you have to have this giant social media following. But if you have 30 people follow you on Instagram, that's like a full yoga class of people that you can connect with regularly. So I think just starting to show up unapologetically and like who you are and not necessarily getting stuck in all the rules and tricks of algorithm tricking, just like getting online, using it as a tool to connect to people, comment on other people's posts, DM them and ask them questions genuinely, like genuinely wanting to learn and to get to know people. And the more that you do that and focus on relationship building first, I think the growth happens naturally. And then from like a business standpoint, I think the next best thing is to think about getting your own email list where anyone that you talk to and connect with on social media from a business side, the goal is to try to get them on your email list where then you own that email list, right? Like technically Mark Zuckerberg owns your Instagram following. And so trying to get people to an email list where you can continue to build those relationships and connections, you know, in a more one-to-one basis, I think is the most important thing. Probably the number one piece of advice that I would have for people is like, get on Instagram, show up, but don't only stay on Instagram, get people on an email list.
Sounds like you actually are using social media to socialize.
Yeah. Funny thing, wow. Right? I know. It's crazy. Like kind of what it was intended for. And then somehow it got a little off track for a while, but we can still do that if we don't get stuck in the noise, you know?
Right. I think it's easy to think that you need special photography and beautiful poses, yeah, and mountains and landscapes. But yeah, it's social media to socialize and
totally hang out. And I think that's the thing with all this online space in general, right? Like I think people, there was definitely a push to everything looking perfect and branded, but we find even in all of our online trainings, you know, we do a lot of work to try to make sure that the video quality and what we're offering in inside of our trainings is really high. But there are times that like on a simple Zoom call where we'll put a pre-recorded Zoom call from a conversation or a lecture that I gave, and I have people who will reach out and be like, hey, I watched like in your bonus materials that pre-recorded Zoom call and I got so much out of it, not scripted, not crazy produced, and they're okay with that. Like people want to know real people, you know, and I think that authenticity component is key, whether it's inside of an online course or a training or on social media. I think just showing up as yourself and still being true to you and not this character, I guess, that sometimes people come online, I think is the big piece of shifting online in the yoga world.
Totally. It's like the modern version of like the yoga teacher voice.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like all these, I used to be really into Alan Watts and all of his recordings are like super hissy and like low quality.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't care. I want to listen to this guy talk. Yeah.
Totally. It's more about what they're saying, right? And the value that you're offering as opposed to how people don't, I always say like people don't want a perfect yoga teacher. They just want a present one, like someone who's going to show up and actually be there. And I think that that's the key thing to remember across the board.
Right. So then with the Yoga Renew and social media, you're probably running advertisements and stuff like Facebook ads. And I've known teachers who've sunk money into Facebook ads and they just figure if they put money in somehow, they'll make money.
Yeah.
And they don't really understand. And it's kind of confusing to manage the ads and the meta platform. So like, what have you learned there? What could you say to teachers who are thinking maybe I need to boost my posts or post ads or something?
Totally. So I think at this stage in our business, we definitely, I'll be honest and upfront in saying we've had years of growth. And so we use Facebook ads and do paid advertising as part of our business strategy. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I don't think out the gate that that's the best way to go because they are, like you said, expensive, you know? And I think if you are working with a limited budget about getting the reach out there and you don't do it exactly right, and it's tricky. Like I'm lucky to have business partners that are a bit more well-versed in that than I am. It's not my area of expertise, is more on the organic marketing side. And we have people with paid ad experience that really help us because the in and outs of that can definitely be tricky. I think starting off anything that you're going to, one of my business coaches said this, and I feel like it was the best advice I had given. So I'm going to share that now. Didn't come from me, but she talked about how like if you haven't tried marketing something organically to see if it connects with the audience already follows you, why would you then pay money to get in front of people who have no idea who you are and try to get them to buy from you, right? So it's like starting first with the unpaid stuff. If you have an idea, if you're trying to sell a workshop or a course or whatever that looks like, you know, a class that you want to start to market, market it to your people first and make sure that it's something that they're even interested in. And once you get legs with that and like your people, your audience is like, this is great and I love it, and you maybe earn a little money doing it, or you start to build more of an audience and more of an interest, then I think once it's working for you and it's like a proven concept, it could make sense to get into some paid advertising. But another thing to note is that with regard to how ads work, if you run ads to something free, right, like a free guide or a free video, the cost of those ads is going to be way less than if you try to run ads directly to something that is paid. And so what I always say is like, come up with something free, use the ads money to market that free thing, get people on your email list, and then do it yourself. Like email them, engage with them, again, going back to building those relationships. And when you're able to do it on the email side, it's going to bring the cost of all of that way, way down. And you'll get people that are more truly interested in what you're offering versus wasting a lot of money trying to get people to do a direct sale when that's hard, right? People don't, especially in the yoga world where I think people do their research, you know, like people want to, like, it's not like I get Instagram ads on like a new mascara or something. And I'm like, sure, take my PayPal. It's $10, you know, like it's not a big spend. But if you're talking that you're offering a yoga workshop or something where it's more of an investment, $50 or more for people, I think there's more of that pause. It's not just like an impulse buy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think I've found that too. It's basically ads are much better spent running towards free things.
Yeah.
Paid things. And then building that relationship through the email list, exactly like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That for us in our, you know, trainings, we've tried a lot of things, and I think our email list is still probably our most valuable business asset. Is like the effort that goes into getting people on the email list is key.
Absolutely. And then it's so easy to boost a post. It's just like a little button.
Yeah.
But I've seen like, it's not really good use of money. Have you experienced that as well?
Yes, absolutely. And it's funny too, because then there's stuff that we're like, we're going to create this, we're going to like focus on this ad or create this reel. It's going to be so awesome and people are going to love it. And like, that one totally tanks. And then something that you put no effort into somehow takes off. And it just, it's like such a, it just is so funny the way that that kind of thing can kind of work. You don't really know, I don't know, back end of stuff. There's still some kind of like weird computer magic. And I don't know that any of us will ever fully figure it out.
Totally. Yeah. And it's like the Bhagavad Gita, you know, you do it for the love of doing it. You don't worry about the fruits, right?
Yes, it's true.
Yeah. But then you got to, you know, make sure you pay your bills and all that and manage all these pieces. And,
yep. Yeah.
And that's a common sort of theme of like yoga teachers maybe struggling financially or trying to do all these things to make money. And what would you say to teachers, like maybe they think they could create a career teaching yoga, or how they would do that, if, or should they try to keep a day job first, or what do you think?
Such a good question. So I had, so previously before I went all in on yoga, I was a high school special education teacher. So I had like very stable, you know, I had tenure, like all the things. I live in New Jersey. Teachers are pretty well taken care of here overall. And I left with no plan. And I don't recommend doing that. It was a lot of couple years of some pretty serious hustle and some long days. And I think I've learned a lot along the way. And the biggest pieces of advice is that I think most people get into yoga because we want to share something that we love and that we're really passionate about. And we want to learn everything that we can about yoga. And that's of course so important. The first thing is like learn to be a really good yoga teacher, right? That's the number one thing. But the other piece, whenever I talk to people who have said, like, how have you made a career out of this, is whether we like it or not, like you also, if you want to do this full time, you have to learn about business too, you know? And I spent years, instead of listening to cool music and coming up with playlists, I was consuming like free podcasts on marketing and sales and all of that left and right to try to learn ins and outs of actually running a business. Hiring business coaches when I owned my yoga studios to teach me about sales funnels. That I didn't go to business school, so that wasn't something that I learned about. And that isn't like the most fun part usually for yoga teachers. But I think if you want to do it full time, it is a piece of it. And like it, and also full time is different for everybody. So like what I think the first step is deciding like, what is it that you actually need to earn in order to feel okay and safe and like that you can pay your bills? Cause you never want to be teaching from a place of scarcity, cause that shows up in a teacher's classes and in the way they serve their students. And so I think you need to know like what your bottom line is and then be realistic about, can teaching yoga be the only way to get that? And for most people, I think you do have to almost have a side job when you're first getting into this. Like I was teaching 11 group classes a week when I left my high school teaching job, but I also was doing freelance copywriting and marketing work. I was a special ed English teacher. I was good at writing. So I like got hired doing stuff, writing emails and sales pages and social media copy for people while I was teaching yoga. It gave me the flexibility to do both things, but I wasn't able to earn enough initially by just teaching group classes. And it took a couple years of like getting more workshops, leading retreats, starting to teach in teacher trainings before I could make that leap to do it full time and then eventually owning my own studio. But I think it doesn't happen overnight. And that sometimes is a hard, I say that as someone who was like, it's fine, I'm just going to be a yoga teacher. I come out of training and I can just do this, a little naively. And I think it does require effort and hard work. And I think having another source of income initially is a good way to be able to stay grounded and not feel like you're making these decisions from a scarcity place. And then little by little, taking the time to learn the business side of things, I think is important. And then eventually getting to that point when you hit your enough, your bottom line to make the shift to do something full time. It can happen in steps, I think.
Totally. I think that's really good advice. It's, yeah, one of my teachers had the same idea of like, what's your safety number?
Yeah.
How can you reach that and be creative too? Like maybe it's classes, yeah, subbing, workshops.
Totally.
Another job, whatever. You know, it's, there's lots of ways you can do it once you know what that number is, and you can, yeah, be creative about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it takes time, you know, and patience is key too.
Totally. And this is for me, like I've always felt like it's a lifelong path. It's not going to, yeah, be. You know, there may be some fast successes and things, but like my whole, I plan to be doing this forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Student and teacher, you know?
Yeah.
So in some ways there's no rush and you know, things will get better with time. You get more skill, you know, it is, yeah, a long time.
And I think it's also like, it's okay to not, to still also keep your other job. Like you're still a yoga teacher. Okay. If you're teaching two classes a week, you know, I say that to people, I feel like sometimes there's this pressure, you do a yoga teacher training and people are like, I'm going to be a full-time yoga teacher. I'm like, are you sure you want that? Like, if you like your job enough and you feel like it's offering you steady income, it's okay to keep your job and teach two or three classes a week. Like, you're still a yoga teacher. You're still showing up and serving students. And I think that's not a conversation that gets had enough either, that like, it's okay to keep your 9-to-5 and teach yoga. Like, you can do both.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think what matters is that, you know, you're doing what you love. That's ideally, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not always the case, but that's ideal. And then, yeah, the yoga does not have to be its own business. And
yeah,
a lot of teachers kind of come in kind of thinking more like an employee, and the studios, yeah, kind of treat them more like an employee, really. Of, mm-hmm, just come in and teach the class and like take care, mm-hmm, of the studio. And then, you know, that's it. And, but to really make a living with it and do it on its own, either you're going to need to teach like 15 to 20 classes,
yeah,
a week.
Yeah. Which, or, is exhausting.
Yeah. Or like be learning the business skills and be creative business wise of like making offers, workshops, mm-hmm, training, treats.
Yeah.
And yeah, yeah, totally agree with that. And yeah, there was a time I was teaching 20 classes a week, and that's the limit.
Yep. Yep. And there's burnout that happens quickly after, yeah, that, I think.
Yeah. It's a lot. And then it also, it gets to be more interesting for you as a teacher, because then you find different ways to express yourself,
yes,
and different topics you want to teach about.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. And I think too, when you start getting into thinking about workshops or trainings, it also, in a good way, I think forces you to take a look at yourself as a teacher and say like, what am I really passionate about teaching? You know, there's so many, obviously, layers to this yoga practice and to what we can share and teach and offer to students. And I think to acknowledge, like, I can love something as a student of yoga, but it doesn't mean that I'm an expert in it. Like, I love learning about the Bhagavad Gita and yoga philosophy. And one of my teachers she teaches our philosophy course for Yoga Renew, she's been my teacher for a long time, like since before I, Julie, she is an expert and she travels to India she would not call herself an expert, but I would, because she's very, very modest, but she really has committed to like knowing the ins and outs of the sutras and the Bhagavad Gita. And she's a professional storyteller and she can tell these yoga philosophy stories in this way that like I could listen to her all day. I'm not a professional storyteller. I have gone down the path of being much more like the ins and outs of sequencing is more my passion. So like I can be a student of hers and love that philosophy piece, but it's also okay if I'm not going to teach my own workshops about those, right? Like I think when you start to think about workshops and trainings, it also allows you to zone in on like, what is your area of expertise for you as a teacher? And how do you want to share that with people? And the more that then you can dive down into that. And it doesn't have to be the same forever, right? You can go down one path and then as things evolve, maybe you start to learn about something else. But I always encourage students eventually like to be the jack of all trades and master of none doesn't really allow us to sink our teeth into anything, right? We can love the entire practice of yoga as a student and always want to keep learning because we're always students of yoga first. But it's okay to also like find your niche in terms of what you actually teach, you know, on a business side of things. And I think that's helpful as you start to, like you were talking about, develop more trainings and workshops, like you kind of have to niche down in order to do that.
Totally. You know, you can, to some degree, you could say yoga workshop.
Yeah.
$40.
Yes.
You'll get some people to come, but
yeah.
Prenatal yoga workshop. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the prenatal people are like, yes.
100%. That's such a good example.
Right. So in that case, with Yoga Renew, there are a lot of specialized trainings in there, right?
Yes. Yeah. So we are really fortunate to have evolved, especially over these last few years. When we started out, we just had our initial baseline 200-hour and 300-hour trainings, just those initial certification points for people. And then over these last few years, we have built out a full library of continuing education classes. And we're so fortunate, Patrick and I think over the years have been able to connect with so many teachers who are truly experts in their individual areas. And it's been such a gift to invite them to be part of the Yoga Renew team and put these trainings together. As I mentioned, Julie, who teaches our philosophy course, is an expert there. We have Joe Miller, who's a New York City teacher and has his degree from Columbia in anatomy and physiology. Like he has stepped in and taught our anatomy course. And so really letting people fully step into their areas of expertise and build these trainings so that yoga teachers can learn from them has been super exciting and fun. And I mean, like I said, it's a cool place to be able to say like, this is not my area of expertise, but we have this platform and company and we want to give yoga teachers the opportunity to share what they're truly experts in, you know, and I can own my little pocket of it with the sequencing and the business of yoga side. And let our other team members really shine in what they're excellent at. So it's really exciting.
Yeah. And I think for teachers listening too, like you kind of find what you're curious about learning and you go really deep into it. And then after a while, you really embodied it. And then you have something to share yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like for you, I imagine at some point sequencing one thing you really wanted to learn a lot about, so you dove deep into it and now you have so much to share, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Sequencing for me, I have to credit Patrick, my co-yoga director, with this. Like when I was considering doing my 300-hour, my advanced training, I was all over the place. I was like, I'm going to, you know, I didn't know which type of program to teach or whatever. And he said, it's like, I really think I was going to be coming on board to be the owner of the studio. He's like, I really think you need to commit yourself to like learning the ins and outs of this vinyasa sequencing style that we offer. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll do it. And he's like, I promise it's going to make a difference. And I was hesitant, but I like committed fully to do an advanced training that was really focused on vinyasa yoga sequencing and through the lens of really strong alignment. And it made a world of difference for me. Like the second I dived deep into that as a teacher was when for me, my confidence grew, my audience grew. I became a better teacher. I've had people who took my classes before I got really into sequencing and after, and they're like, you're way better now. You weren't as good. I'm like, oh, thank you. Thanks for sticking around. You know, they're like, yeah, some of your classes used to kind of like, I would go home really sore and not in a good way. Now I feel great. And I'm like, okay, I don't know why you kept coming back, but I appreciate that. Yeah, but I think for me, it changed everything. Like it gave me the confidence as a teacher, and it's what I really connected to and loved. And I think Patrick and I have continued to dive deep and refine our own style in that more and more over these years. And now it's an exciting thing to be able to share that with others. That's integrated into the 200 and 300 hour in our yoga renew trainings. And this fall, we're releasing an advanced vinyasa sequencing training in the style that we've developed and really honing in on sharing that with other people, which is really a gift that we're very lucky to be able to do.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was talking with one of my students in the teacher training that I lead this week, and she was teaching a sequence, and she had a pose in there that she's like, well, maybe we'll try this.
Yeah.
And she didn't like know how to describe it. And I was like, well, have you tried this? Have you done this pose before? And she's like, no, but I thought it'd be an interesting idea. So it's something I was like, very clear. Don't teach something you've never done before.
Yep.
And I think that applies to teachers too. Yeah. Like maybe you see, oh, she's teaching a sequencing workshop. Maybe I'll teach a sequencing workshop. But if you don't feel like you have that experience and growth and a transformation like you've had, then you know, it's not going to come through. So I think it's so important that we teach what we experience and we know and what we embody.
And I also, and it goes back to, I love that because I feel like I say this the same thing all the time. Like, especially when you're in a yoga teacher training, you're learning from teachers who are teacher trainers now, right? Like they've been teaching for a long time. And it's hard sometimes, I think, when you're in that space because they're your example, but you're new at this, right? Mm-hmm. And I always say, I'm like, when I came out of my 200 hour teacher training, I wasn't teaching Pavrita Sirsasana, right? Like I was teaching Ardha Chandrasana as like my main big pose, because that I might have been working on those more, what, for lack of a better term, advanced poses as a student, but I didn't have them in my body enough to teach them to other people yet, you know. And I think it's that thing to always remember that we're yoga students first, and then we're yoga teachers, and you can still be learning on your own journey, and it doesn't mean you have to be sharing every single thing with your students along the way.
Right. I think it's that time of integration and embodiment where it's like you don't have to think about it as much.
Yeah.
Like if I asked you to teach about sequencing on the spot right now, you could go for like 2 hours.
100%. Yeah. Off the cuff. Yeah. But if you quiz me on, you know, there's other yoga topics. Like if you wanted me to talk about the ins and outs of the koshas, I know them roughly, but like I would need to do a lot more research first, right? Like I love subtle body stuff. I'm interested in it. Or Ayurveda. Like I'm not an Ayurvedic specialist. I love it as a student, but I certainly would not pretend to, you know, 2 hours on sequencing, no problem. But yeah, it's just kind of being comfortable with knowing what has been like your focus as a teacher.
Totally. And it's very humbling. And it's like three of the best words to know as a teacher, I don't know.
Yes. I love that. 100%. I say that all the time. It's like, yeah, I don't know, but I can find out. Right. And exactly. That's the thing too, as you start teaching and you're in a training, come out of training, like building your community of yoga teachers that have those resources, because you do, you get, I mean, people ask you crazy stuff when you're a yoga teacher. They come up, I've had students who like medical things where they're like, my tendon of this knee, like how does that relate to my acupuncture? I'm like, I'm not an acupuncturist and I'm not an orthopedic doctor, I'm a yoga teacher. I don't know the answer, but I do know someone who's an expert in anatomy, and I'm happy to like ask him the question and we can get back to you. And I think being, like you said, humble enough to know what you don't know is fine. People, and to say like, I'm just a yoga teacher. Like I always say, like, we're not medical professionals unless you are, right? Unless you're a doctor, but otherwise we're not. So just kind of saying that and being okay with that, we don't have to have all the answers. And I think honesty becomes the best policy for sure.
Totally. It's practicing the yamas and niyamas.
Yeah.
So what would you say is like one of your edges right now? Is it the koshas, or what's something like you're really curious about or exploring right now?
I love that question. So we actually have been, one of the girls on our team who has gotten really into sound healing, and using that in her classes as a way to tap into the chakra system and all of that. And I have been experiencing that as a student in her classes and like respond to it so much. And I love the integration of how she uses that in her yoga classes. So next up on my list, I think, is to try and go into a sound healing training myself and learn a little bit more about how that can affect all the subtle body stuff. Yeah, I think that's kind of the thing that's like piquing my interest at the moment.
Beautiful. Yeah. And at some point in the future, maybe we'll see the sound healing class on yoga.
That's right. That's right. I'll probably leave that to her to teach, but yeah, I'll be there cheering her on.
Beautiful. And that's, before we finish, that idea too is like, this is kind of further along. It's something I'm learning a lot more at this phase in my own growth is asking for help, delegating, working with others, collaborating more. Because I had this desire as a teacher to learn it all, as much as I could, philosophy, anatomy, all this stuff. But there's a lot of value I'm learning at this phase in my own path of just having collaboration, teamwork, assistance, help. And with you describing like there's three people or business partners and there's a team of teachers. This may be a little further out for some of the listeners, but like, how do you step into that of like having more of a team around what you're doing, collaboration, network, like not just you running your own yoga business by yourself?
I love that. So I think the biggest thing is for me, I have always had partners and things. Like, I mean, obviously not in just my initial classes when I was like a solo group teacher, but when I opened my yoga studio, Patrick and I did that. And the first one, we did that together. And then of course, in building out all of our online programs, I think asking for help, it's so much more fun when you do it with people that you love, you know? And I think it can be really lonely if you're like, as an entrepreneur, and that's really like, if we're yoga teachers, that's ultimately what we are on this path, and doing it by yourself, like it can get really lonely when no one else fully understands and relates to it. So it can be as simple, I think, early on as saying like, hey, finding a yoga teacher that you seem aligned with, like, let's lead a workshop together, you know? And I've done that since the get-go, like just finding, of course I had my own individual group classes, but like, let's co-lead a workshop. Like, you're really great at this. This is my thing. Can we do this together? And then maybe that involves into a training. And if you eventually want to own a studio, maybe there's alignment there. And you certainly want to be careful and make sure that it's like people that are aligned with you as a teacher, but also with your approach to business in general. But I think testing that out and having a community around you only makes you stronger. And yeah, I would say like starting out small, co-leading workshops with other teachers is big. And then if you're thinking of it from the business side, you know, if you start to find a certain amount of growth, maybe it's something like also acknowledging on the business end, like I really love to write. Like I mentioned before, I have a background as an English teacher. That wasn't Patrick's thing, but he's like excellent at putting together teams and knows the ins and outs of schedules in terms of building that. And so that was a really nice thing for him to be able to be like, I'm not writing any of the emails. That's your thing. And I'm like, great. I'm not putting together the schedule. That's your thing. You know, also knowing what are your strengths in general as a yoga teacher, but as a business person. And I think we as a society do a lot of like improving weaknesses. And I'm not a believer in that. I think you hit a point in adulthood, like let your weaknesses be your weaknesses. They're someone else's strengths. So find the person who your weaknesses are their strengths, team up and you're stronger together. Like do what you love and what you're good at. And it's just a much easier path forward, I think, in all things, in teaching, in business, you know, across the board. And when you can do it with people with similar skill sets side by side, it makes a difference.
Beautiful. Beautifully said. This has been such a pleasure to talk with you, Kate.
Oh my goodness. You too, Jeremy. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. So where can people keep in touch with you and what you're doing?
Yeah. So for me personally, Instagram, as we mentioned, I'm at kate.lombardo on Instagram. And then for Yoga Renew on Instagram, we're at Yoga Renew Teacher Training. And that's where you can see all the different courses, trainings we offer. And then my personal page is a mix of yoga stuff. And I also have two little kids at home that make appearances every once in a while on there too. So some mom stuff on there as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for the time today, and hope you have a great rest of your day.
Yes, you too. Thank you so much.